the pride of Greensboro, North Carolina, Toronto Blue Jays general manager, Ross Atkins. Ross, thank you very much for taking the time to do this. How are you today?
Joey, thanks for having me on. I'm doing all right. Yeah, born in Greensboro, North Carolina, raised in Miami, Florida, but mostly raised in minor league baseball. Thanks for having me on, Joey.
Yeah, of course. Listen, I got to ask you this question because of, you know, I have this soft spot for minor league baseball players from the standpoint of people always look at professional athletes because they have the financial wherewithal, they have the glory, they have the fame, and they forget all the work and all the eggs you have to put in one basket to make it to the professional level. And minor league baseball has been canceled, and it's affected a lot of people. Before we talk about the Blue Jays, you're a guy who understands the minor league system. You know, of course, you were drafted out of college, and then you worked your way up with the Cleveland Indians organization after being in that organization for 5 years. But talk about minor league baseball and how these guys ride buses and don't make a lot of money and live in places that, you know, aren't glamorous at all. I don't think people realize the work that goes into getting to the major leagues.
Yeah, it is not common. It's not an existence that is really like many others. I think you described it well. It's interesting. I was talking to Chase Anderson about this yesterday because we were talking about Austin Martin and how this existence is unique for him, and his introduction is going to be very different than it would have been for Chase Anderson or for even another first-round pick last year because of the situation we're in. I know Austin's talked about that. So it is, you know, minor league baseball, I think, you know, it is something that everyone really that ever experienced it, you know, and that loves baseball holds it really close to their heart because it is you make massive sacrifices, you make very little money, and it is a lot of time spent with a group of people that, you know, it's unlike anything else because you're playing together, you're working out together, you're going back to hotels, you have a roommate when you're on the road, you have a roommate when you go back home, and it is an atypical existence. And the major leagues is obviously there's some more comfort around the major leagues. Travel is easier. There are some more amenities, of course. There's more resources, of course. But the thing that I think often gets lost in all professional sport, and I can speak more specifically about baseball, is the sacrifices that are made are so immense that in order to be successful and to really enjoy it, if you're just not focused on the process and not focused on enjoying getting better and enjoying the work ethic, it's just not going to happen in most cases. You know, there certainly are exceptions, but the work ethic and the sacrifices and compromises that are made are really what it's all about. I remember my second year in professional baseball, Oral Hershiser came down and worked out with us, and we were running after the end of a workout, and he asked if he could run with the minor leaguers, and he was running with 8 or 9 minor league pitchers. And he ran us into the ground, and he was 15 years older than all of us, and he clearly outworked us. And at the end of it, he just said, he's like, hey, guys, it's not until you enjoy this part until you really become a professional. And it's always resonated with me. It's very true. And, the sacrifices and the commitments made in minor league baseball and now the fact that these guys don't have the same opportunity is – it's challenging, but there's a lot of challenging things happening in today's world, that's for sure.
Yeah, and look, I brought it up only because you've done, and I said this to Mark Shapiro, you guys have done a great job. You know, you took your lumps for the couple of years where the team was really bad, but you've done an amazing job in managing your prospect capital and adding to it. And there was an article on how the Toronto Blue Jays are positioned better than any team in Major League Baseball to capitalize on the fact that their prospects are going to bloom, for want of a better term, at precisely the right time where you will be able to spend money to augment that. Throw into the mix the fact that you have a pitching pool now that you know, we know about Nate Pearson, but when you look down this list of your pitching prospects, and I see Simeon Woods Richardson and Alek Manoah and all these guys that are 6'3", right? It's already, add the mound to that, and then just go down, you know, Anthony Kay, who's not, he's 6 feet tall. But Ross, talk about the timing of trying to gel the incredible positional talent you have with these prospects.
Yeah, listen, I mean, there's only one way, but there's only one reason to be in these jobs, and it's to win and to do something that is truly sustainable. And to do that, you have to make sacrifices, and there has to be a time where, you know, there's going to be some bumps, and, you know, we feel confident that we've definitely gotten through the bumpiest part and now are exceptionally excited about the young position player group that has transitioned, the pitching that you've mentioned that is coming, in addition to those names, Patrick Murphy, Thomas Hatch, Luciano. There's a long list of guys, Klopfenstein, Pardinho, guys that we really feel have the chance to be significant starting pitcher impact or just pitching impact on this organization, with a lot of room to add to this team, whether it be via free agency or trade. And it's a tough place to get. It's not an easy place to get to that point where you have all of those things that are in your favor. We are there now, not without work to do, but feel very good about the foundation, about the leadership amongst our players, the way guys are coming together, the fact that we're going through a pandemic, we're quarantining in a hotel, we're living in one building, and there's one thing that's being talked about, and it's winning. That's really encouraging for this group.
Yeah, and look, I think you have an advantage over many teams in that you're the only team out. You know, San Francisco's hotel is right across the street from AT&T Park. But I think your situation is you're the only team that actually has a hotel in their stadium, which probably provides some unique advantages. But when you're talking about these, and look, Vladdy is a guy that everyone talked about him being a superstar. He came as advertised. He was hyped, but whether it's Biggio and Bichette, and again, this major league pedigree that these guys have, they learned young what it's like to be a major leaguer from their fathers. But a guy like Austin Martin, whom I don't know much about him other than what I've seen, and anybody that says the only two teams he wanted to be drafted by were his hometown team and then the Toronto Blue Jays, and I don't think he made it up. Did you know that before, that Austin Martin wanted to be drafted by either the Marlins or the Toronto Blue Jays?
Well, what I can tell you is that I think, you know, the work that our area scouts have done, Tony LaCava and Shane Farrell, obviously, to be open-minded, to establish relationships, and also understand that we need to work with a group in player development led by Gil Kim and Joe Sclafani to let individuals be just that. I think that resonated with Austin. I think he saw how Bo Bichette and Kevin Biggio developed here and how we're not trying to put guys into boxes and have players look a certain way. What we're trying to do is win and do it collectively with a group of people that are pulling for one another. But how they swing and how they run, how they field a ground ball, how they throw a fastball, we want to work with them on that. And we want individuals to be just that. I think we also have very good ties to the Vanderbilt community where Austin was, and feel like it's almost an extension of this organization because of so many individuals that were there and that are now working here. So, you know, did feel good about us being a good landing spot for him, for sure.
I lived in L.A. for 20 years. I saw Yunjin Ryu pitch a ton for the Dodgers, went to a ton of Dodger games, knew a bunch of people in the organization. And I don't think people understand what type of pitcher they really have in this guy. He is methodical. He's got great control. He's got great accuracy. Look, at the end of the day, you know, durability may be an issue. He's had some of those issues over the last several years. But if you get a healthy Yunjin Ryu, I imagine that this guy's going to be an anchor for you for the next several years.
Yeah, I think that's well said. We've been really impressed. He's a lot of fun to watch, I think, because of just the execution level. He doesn't miss. you know, I don't like comparisons much, but it, you know, you start to think about guys like Glavine and Maddux that were just true artists, and how at their craft, and he is one of the best I've ever seen at executing pitches. He's a very, very good athlete. He cares deeply about his routine and about being successful. He's immediately become a good teammate and has really transitioned well. When you think about his transition to, you couldn't ask for a more difficult one, in that he's going to a new organization, a new team, a new city. You know, he's only been with one other in the U.S., and he's newly married, having a child in a new area in Dunedin, Florida. He thought he was going to be able to have his child in Toronto, but had to adjust on that front. And all he's focused on and talking about are his teammates and how he can, you know, make sure he has his routine so that he can execute for us on opening day. And he's really been, he puts a smile on our faces every day, and he's a lot of fun to watch. And he is, you know, hopefully going to be a significant piece of our success moving forward.
Our guest is General Manager Ross Atkins of the Toronto Blue Jays. And Ross, we'll only keep you for a couple more minutes, but really quickly, Nate Pearson is a guy that people have focused on because he's a top shelf prospect. Looks like he's going to be a great major league pitcher. And as far as handling him, we know about the service term and you know, taking advantage of keeping this guy around as long as possible. What does Nate Pearson bring as a starter to the Toronto Blue Jays?
Nate's, you know, the beyond the obvious things of, you know, power and throwing it over the plate with three effective and above average major league pitches, the strikeout, the ability to get strikeouts, the ability to get swing and miss and minimize walks. He's had an impressive track record in the minor leagues, and had he not been hit in the forearm with a line drive, you know, that really has been the only setback for him. So I think the thing that probably excites us just as much as the things that I've already mentioned, that you mentioned, is it's just how much he loves it. He has always been a student of pitching. He dives into the resources and has set very, very high standards for himself, and he set very, very high goals for himself. So if you combine those things, then the only thing that's left is durability. And pitchers' durability is so important, and making sure that, you know, they can continue to go out there every 5 days to continue to get better. And we feel that he checks all of those boxes. So, you know, Nate is extremely hardworking. He's actually managed his time down exceptionally well. He was, you know, locked in from the first day that we were shut down to the day before we were coming back here. He came in great shape. He looks just as good or better than the pitcher he was in spring training. So, I mean, listen, there's a lot to like. There's a lot to be excited about. And he's still very young and early in his career. So that's, you know, it's really exciting. We're excited for him.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about Vladdy's move to first base. What precipitated it? How's it going? How do you see it panning out long term? Because, look, Rowdy Tellez has been a guy that has hit for power and is a young guy that it looks like he's going to be part of this team as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Vladdy, and versatility is big for, you know, having Travis Shaw here that it can play both, and Joe Panik that can go over there, Brandon Drury who can play some third base, and really just where we were with Vladdy's development and talking to him, we thought that it mutually made sense for him to get more reps at first base. And if at some point his first step quickness and agility, you know, start to get to a better level, then we can talk about third base again. But for now, he'll be playing there. Rowdy will get plenty of playing time. There's going to be opportunities for guys here with the DH spot being a place that we can give it back, not just to Rowdy Tellez, but to others. And Rowdy's been awesome, man. He has, I think Dante Bichette has had a significant impact on a lot of people here, and Rowdy is one of them. He's really committed to using the opposite field and to using his approach of one of sticking to, that he can use the opposite field so effectively. and just let the power come to him. There aren't many people that can do that. He's committed, and it's really he looks like a veteran right now in spring training. So has been a lot of fun to watch in camp, and very much looking forward to our fans seeing more of it.
Before we let you go, look, the season is a week away. You're going to be going to Tampa. I know that there's a ruling coming down from the federal level on whether you're going to be able to play in Canada or not. So that remains to be seen. I know it's been approved at the municipal and the provincial level. What do you expect this season to look like? 60 games, a shortened season. You hired a manager that had a lot of experience with young developmental talent and managing that type of talent when he was in Tampa. What do you expect this 60-game season to look like? I think you need 34 wins to make the playoffs, and sometimes it's good to be young and not know any better. This Toronto Blue Jays team, with a couple of breaks, could surprise some people.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Our players are talking about one thing and one thing only, and it's winning. And they aren't just talking about it because they think it would be fun. They're talking about it because they believe they're going to do it. And you can tell a difference. You can certainly feel a difference when you're in the environment and on a daily basis. I think, you know, what it'll come down to is our ability to, one, manage the virus, two, manage a shortened training period and keeping guys healthy, and then three, how guys, you know, stick to their process and stick to their routines. I know Charlie will do a phenomenal job of making sure that we're using as much of that 30-man roster as possible for the first 2 weeks to keep guys engaged and active. And that will be an opportunity for us with our young pitching that we have a lot of depth that we can tap into, and guys that might be traditionally in a starting role in AAA could be in a relief role. Guys that we were expecting to be spending the bulk of their time in AAA, or at least a significant portion, could be thrust into some interesting opportunities and situations for us this year. And we're glad to have that depth on our roster. Our 40-man is built in a way that we feel can complement this season well.
Before I let you go, last question, Ross. How do you manage the development of an organization like yours, which is incredibly young, and you don't have minor league baseball to do it? What kind of programs and developmental tools do you put in place? How do you manage that?
Well, you know, we're definitely talking about, there's a group of GMs that have more than a weekly call. We're talking certainly at least once a week to talk about solutions, and we're coming up with ideas that we'll present to ownership and present to Major League Baseball to hopefully, once the season gets off to a good start, and then we can focus our energy and efforts there. But there's also a lot of individual development. We've been relatively successful this year at just doing things remotely to help guys continue to stay strong, stay active, not lose the fast twitch. It's just the reps they're missing, the reps of live performance. And, you know, we'll see what that looks like as we get into, you know, August and September, and how we can potentially grow that. You know, but it's not something that we're not thinking about every day. And our player development group is doing a fantastic job of keeping all of our players engaged.